So this is a continuation of our series about looking at Jesus through the Gospels. And the thing that God put on my heart was about the invitations of Jesus. And as we look through the different Gospels, we see a whole range of invitations of Jesus. Beautiful. Sorry, it's Windows, Jonathan. Left-hand button. Top left. There we go. Nice. And all the way through, there are different invitations. And I thought this is the joy of the technology when it does work. So I actually took a photo of the slide to put onto my presentation to then show you again on the same screen. But it's your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. And in a way, that's my preach. So I might just stop. But I know that the coffee's not quite ready, so I'll talk for a bit more. Before I come on to this one, the first invitation isn't from Jesus, but it's to Jesus. If you remember the angels, the shepherds, they're saying, let's go and see Jesus. And I was just really struck because if you go back to the very, 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 very beginning of time and the Big Bang, when people who don't believe in God believe there was the entire matter of the universe in something this big, but for those who believe in God, there was nothing. And then Jesus comes along, the Son of God, and he says, let there be light. And bam, the whole of the universe lights up. And that is the same Jesus who then kind of got recompressed into a human form, who chose to lay down his divinity, his majesty, his godliness, so that we could then relate to him as a human being. And so that is like the first invitation, is just come in awe and wonder and look at this amazing Jesus who is willing to go from that to this. So, come and see is the first invitation. Jesus turned around and saw that they were following him and asked, what do you want? And they responded, Rabbi, which means master or teacher, where are you staying? And he answered, come and discover for yourself. And so all of these different invitations, some will be relevant for some people, others will be relevant for others. But if you are intrigued about this Jesus, what he says to you is come and see. No pressure. Come and see. And that's what the disciples did. I think it was Andrew and his brother were the two that he said this to. And they just came, hung out for the evening and stayed for a bit and got to know who this Jesus guy was and then followed him for the rest of their lives because they fell in love with him. The next one is come to me and drink. And we know what that's like in these days, don't we? Where we are gasping for a drink. And although this is on one level physical, it's also spiritual. All of us have times when we are thirsty in our spirit, where we need healing, where we need the dryness, the barrenness to have life. And we know just how good water is at bringing life. Water is so powerful. just look in the garden, look on the verges. As soon as the water stops being present, things wilt. And I know some of you are just yearning me for me to do this. Sorry, Terry, missed out. It's like water is so refreshing. And when our hearts are barren and dry, we need that refreshing. We need that refreshing. Next one is, come to me and drink. On the most important day of the feast, the last day, Jesus stood up and shouted out to the crowds, all who are thirsty, come to me and drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says. And this is like one step on from just being refreshed. It's actually having God's Holy Spirit flowing through us, because it will give life. It gives life to our bodies, it gives life to our friends and our family, to our neighbours, to all those who we interact with. The Holy Spirit will bring life. And this is a story that Chris has gone through a few times. The Samaritan woman at the well. We now know what it is like to be out there in the heat of the day. And that's what she came to do. Her reputation was in tatters. Her shame was endless. And so she came in the middle of the day where she would meet no one so that she could get the water that her household needed. She couldn't bear to be seen by anybody. She encounters Jesus, and everything changed. No longer was she hiding away. No longer was she full of shame, but she was shouting out about the goodness of God to the whole of the town. And so many in the town responded. It's just a beautiful story. There we go. Jesus with a lady at the well. So we've had come and drink, so now come and eat. And again, Jesus often would eat with people. And we'll have a bit more of that later. But Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Come every day, like Anne said, come every day to me and you will never be hungry. So I've had the water as a planned prop, but thanks to Roz and us not doing communion this morning, I have another prop. So it's pretty similar, actually. Not bad. Bread we need. Food we need. And so, you know, if you in your life feel like you're running empty, if you feel that, you know, I just can't keep going. Just like you've got that gnawing feeling in your stomach where you are yearning and you're focused on food because you are so hungry. Jesus says, come and eat. Come and be renewed, re-energized with the goodness that I have for you. So the story that jumped out at me So we need to be careful when we're reading through the Gospels, because we talk about things as stories when they're stories, and we talk about them when they're history. So it's like Jesus told the parables, which were stories, for a purpose, to illustrate a point. But then there were other stories that were actually what happened. So like, you know, yesterday, you know, I did this, this, and this. And that's my story of yesterday. So this is a story that actually happened. And it was about a guy called Zacchaeus, who some of you may have heard of. And he was a chief tax collector. I can't remember what it says there. He was a chief tax collector, and because of that was completely despised by the whole town. It'd be, you know, it's bad enough being a tax collector like Matthew was, but to be the chief tax collector was the worst thing. And as those of you who have been to Sunday school will remember, he was a very little man. He's very short. So being short and unpopular, but also wanting to see Jesus, there's a bit of a conflict. So what he did, what did he do? He climbed a tree. So I haven't got any trees. So he climbed to the top of a tree so that he could see over the heads of the crowd, past all the people who despised him, so that he could actually see Jesus. And the tree would have had leaves, and so it may not be obvious that he was up there. But Jesus knew. And so if you picture where Adam is, you know, we are sort of kind of opposite ends, and Jesus over there saw Zacchaeus up here and said, come on down, I see you. I know that you're trying to hide, that you know, life is hard, but you're also wanting to see me, which is just such a beautiful thing. And so come down, and I'm going to come to your house tonight. Come and eat. Come and eat around a table. Come and share a meal together. And that is such a beautiful picture. And I mean, I haven't done a study on this. I'll come down now. I haven't done a study on this, but it feels like the people that Jesus tended to eat with were the outcasts, were the prostitutes, the tax collectors, those who were despised by everyone else. Those are the people whose homes he went to eat. I found this online. I didn't make it, no credit to me. But I just loved it. Long before Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, the tree was already planted to meet the need. So I imagine that the tree was probably 30, 40, 50 years old. That long time ago, the seed fell into the ground and grew and grew and grew so that Zacchaeus could then climb it. And most of us, I would say, can look at things that are like that in our lives, where something was put in place way long ago to meet our need right now. One little example, when Anne and I first met, she was a nurse living in a home with six other nurses. And we then got together, got married, and we were wanting to go on a trip to visit some people we'd met in Hungary. And we didn't have the money to go. And just at that moment, one of the friends in the house back in Southampton looked in the pile of all the rubbish that had come through the door and been put to one side. And there was an envelope there for Anne. And it was sent on. And it was all the backdated superannuation from her nursing salary that had arrived, had been paid by her into her tax back then, or from the NHS, had come through the letterbox, had sat and waited, was picked up at the right time, was posted onto us so that we could then use it. And it's like a God who is outside of time can do this sort of thing, and it is beautiful. Come unto me, another invitation, all you who are heavy laden. All you who are heavy laden. And so if this is an invitation for you, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling trodden down, if you're feeling burdened, come to Jesus. So this is it in the Passion. Are you weary carrying a heavy burden? come to me, I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, and easy to please. I just want to say that last bit again. Easy to please. Easy to please. All of our lives, I would suggest, we've been told that God is either hard to please or impossible to please. But because of Jesus, we now have a relationship with God that means it is now easy to please because he delights in us, he loves us. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Again, all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. God is good. He loves us. He has good plans for us. I like this one. Come with me to a quiet place and have some rest. This comes in the Gospels just as the disciples have gone out, the 120, have seen amazing miracles happening as they were kind of cutting their teeth on this mission business. And they had seen, as they prayed, blind eyes open, the lame walk. They had seen the leprosy go. And they came back, and after a couple of weeks on the road, they were knackered. And Jesus says, come with me to a quiet place and get some rest. The apostles returned and gathered around Jesus and told him everything they had done and taught. There was such a swirl of activity around Jesus, with so many people coming and going, that they were unable to even eat a meal. So Jesus said to his disciples, come, let's take a break, find a secluded place where you can rest a while. I do just need, I think, to pause. Sue, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Sue. Happy birthday to you. No, have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful day. So the picture on the left I actually took myself. As a forest school leader, when I'm setting up, you always have to test all the equipment so that the kids don't get on it, it breaks and they hurt themselves. And so I've now got a folder in my Google Photos called The View from the Hammock. And so for the last, well, pretty much certainly this term, if not since Easter, each week, I've taken the same photo looking up at the trees as the season has changed, and it is just really beautiful, really restful. So that's the sort of place that I'd like to go and get some rest. Next one is go. And the irony is that if you have an invite, it's normally come, but this one is go. And this one was when Jesus was about to go back to heaven, and it's called the Great Commission, and he said, go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And the thing I loved about that was, yes, it is go, but he's already gone ahead. So you're coming to him in the future, if that makes sense. So, you know, we're told to go by Jesus over there, and I get over here, and he's over here as well. So, great. Come and receive your reward. Almost finished, guys, don't worry. Come and experience the full inheritance of the kingdom realm that has been destined for you from before the foundation of the world. For when you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you found me thirsty, you gave me drink. When I had no place to stay, you invited me in. And when I was poorly clothed, you covered me. When I was sick, you tenderly cared for me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. Those are the sort of things that we're called to do. And as with all the other invitations of Jesus, there is a reward that comes with it. There's a benefit that we receive from being obedient. Follow me. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. If you want to be my disciple, follow me, and you will go where I am going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, my Father will shower his favour on your life. This is one of the challenges that we have, that detaching ourselves from this world. Things like time and energy and reputation are all there that we try to nurture to the best of our ability, but sometimes that conflicts with the way that Jesus would have us do it. And so we need to detach ourselves from what the world would suggest we should do and do what he says. Come and take up your cross. If you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. You must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own, as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you try to keep. So God has good things for us, and it's down to us not to put things in the way, barriers and hurdles, ambitions, pleasures in the way, because God wants to give us the very best. A blank slide only means one thing: a gentle challenge. There are places in the world where people are discriminated against, they are beaten up, they are killed just for being Christians. In this country, we don't have that. We have it, compared to them, pretty cushy. But the challenge is to say, Jesus, I am yours. I delight to do your will. Lead me in the right way. So when things get hard, just hold out. Can I hold your hand? Just hold out to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. Thank you. When Anne and I were on a hospital ship in West Africa, we heard about how the early missionaries to West Africa would pack their belongings in a coffin, because they knew that they would only live for a number of months before they died of malaria. But the passion, the love of God that they had in their heart was so great, their compassion for those who had never encountered Jesus was so great, that they were willing to do that. I read another story of a missionary in the Far East who was told, if you carry on talking like this, you're going to die. And he said, that's what I came here to do. And so whether it is our physical life or it is the things that we have, our time, our money, our energy, our reputation, we are called to lay them down. So I don't know. Got that lovely loaf of bread there. And if you would like, on your way to coffee, just to come up and take a bit and say, this represents my commitment to you, Jesus, to hear your invitations and to try and walk your way then come up and have some. It is a beautiful thing to do, to see God at work in our lives. But the best is only as we lay our lives down and we can see his life shining through us. The end. So do come up, grab a bit of bread if you want to, enjoy some coffee, enjoy some fellowship together, and let's see where this journey takes us.